What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 491st episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. I'm your host, SBJ, and with me today is Greg.
Hello, my friends. How is your week this week? It's been a wonderful, frigid on and off season so far. Are you enjoying your December in Minnesota?
Geez, much like my Instagram, you're full of positivity.
Right?
I don't like this.
Why? Okay. So 9
We gotta be positive now so we can be negative later.
Absolutely. Yeah. 9 inches of light snow, FYI, is not anything. So y'all are like, oh, it was a terrible snowstorm. No, it was not.
We got more than 9 inches down here.
Yeah. Well, south, you got 11. North, we got 9. And it was light. It's light, dry snow. I shoveled that like that, just gone.
I can verify my snowblower works. And it works great. Speaking of blowing snow, Will is here.
Well, I actually have some advice for our listeners that is not about the snow and is not for all of our listeners. So for some of you, this is going to sound like gibberish. For some of you, this is just going to be the golden words that you need to hear. But at some point in your life, you are going to be tempted, drawn to, encouraged to use the crochet provisional cast on. Do not do it. There are other provisional cast-ons that work much better, and if you need me to point you in that direction, just hit me up, and I'll let you know. Don't do the crochet provisional. It's a mistake.
Okay.
There you go.
We have a lot of Pokemon Go news this week, so we'll get to that probably after the break. And then we have some Master stuff and some Unite stuff, because there's a holiday event. So I guess we'll start with the Diamond and Pearl stuff. I guess let's start there.
What is it? There's stuff?
Oh, there's stuff. This is off VG247. Pokemon.
You're pulling the big sites.
No, they're pretty big. I mean, they're bigger than us, probably.
Wow, really?
VG247. Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl tops 6 million in sales the first week. The cool thing here is they have the older games as well.
Ooh.
Even with the mixed reaction from critics, Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl have sold extremely well, with over 6 million units worldwide between the first week. Per Famitsu, comparing that to Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, which only sold 3 million in its first week, and then Super Smash Bros. Ultimate sold 5 million in its first week. And then back in 2019, Sword and Shield also sold 6 million copies in its first week. Pokemon X and Y sold 4 million copies in its first week. And oddly enough, Pokemon Sun and Moon sold 7.2 million copies in its first week. It's kind of crazy how Sun and Moon topped out at like 14 million. And Sword and Shield is at like 23 million, which is a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
This number is very
big. It's also the number of people who had switches versus the number of people who had 3D. What's the plural of 3DSs?
I think there's still more 3DSs out there, isn't there?
Are there more like physical 3DSs that exist, or more 3DSs that get plugged into the wall and allowed to charge their batteries any longer? Because that's a big divergence.
So is the question, there were more 3DSs than there are switches? Is that your thing? Is that what we're asking?
I mean, I think there's more active Switch users than there are active 3DS users at that time.
There's no way there wasn't more 3DSs out there in the world, because the 3DS was 7+ years old.
But that was also at the time where you were very clearly saying the 3DS is a horrible piece of hardware, I hate it, and you were preventing people from enjoying the pleasant experiences that they could have had on the 3DS because they just listened to you and think that it was
listened to me.
Yes.
Look, 7 years for a piece of technology is very old.
I feel the computer I'm recording this on is about to turn 7 years old. You are correct.
Link me to this article. Why don't I see these numbers?
What is there to see? I just read them.
Yeah, but you saying numbers just goes in one ear and out the other. Mm. Found it. Don't even bother. Is this Joe? Did Joe cite his?
No, the 6 million copies is from Famitsu.
So
So if Sword and Shield sold 6 million, Let's Go sold 3, X Sun and Moon sold 7.2, Diamond Pearl sold 7. There's no way Arceus sells more, because there's only one copy. Like, I would say, what, at least 1 out of 10 people are buying 2 copies? And I'm being really generous, because every time we do polls, or every time, like, Pokemon does polls or whatever, it seems like it's like 1 out of 3 people actually buy 2 copies.
Well, I would say number of units, correct. Number of people buying a copy is something different, but I guess we are just counting units here, so yes.
Yeah.
You are correct. Also, I think Legends Arceus in its first week is going to suffer because it is not a traditional Pokemon game. Traditional, as that can vary through time and be vague, whatever, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
So a lot of people are going to hold off until they hear from other people, hey, this is an incredible Pokemon experience, or, oh my God, just go get Pokemon Snap because Legends Arceus is not even worth your time.
Well, so let's look at it. How many copies did Pokemon Snap sell?
Oh, like 2 million?
See, but there's some variance in there, right? Because Pokemon Snap did not introduce new regional forms, and Pokemon right. Legends Arceus is introducing the new regional forms, which even for the mildly informed about Pokemon, people know, like, if I want to experience this Pokemon type, I'm going to have to be involved in this game somehow.
Yeah. So Pokemon Snap sold 2 million units.
2.07 million units as of June 30th.
Given that is by definition a side game, I mean, I would expect, since Legends Arceus is being sold as a slightly more traditional experience, but not by much, that we would see numbers only slightly higher than that.
Yeah, I mean, Legends has, like, the Breath of the Wild gimmick. Even though it might not exist, it looks like it exists.
Mm-hmm.
It has new Pokemon. It is for at least the hardcore people that are like, Game Freak always does the same thing. We want something different. Like, this is something different. Whether or not it's good
remains to be seen.
It's close. It's like 45 days away at this point, which is weird.
And also, we have to take into account shooting themselves in the foot by having it come out after Christmas, because
yeah.
I know a number of people who are like, I couldn't get Diamond and Pearl when it came out, but I'm hoping to get it for Christmas, wherein nobody's saying, I hope I get a gift card for Legends Arceus.
For Valentine's
so
Day.
January. Exactly.
It's a great Valentine's Day gift. Fall in love with Pokemon all over again for Valentine's Day. Get Legends Arceus.
2 million copies sold for Pokemon Snap feels like it's good for a series that isn't Pokemon. Like, if I was like, oh, 2 million copies sold for Stardew Valley. Sold like 15 million over whatever. But like a million copies of a game sold is like very impressive for like any company wanting to like sell a video game, right? I've talked about this before.
But is it? Numbers are so bad for me anymore, because like I think about it and I'm like, boy, if I could get $1 out of each copy of that 2 million copies that were sold, I still can't afford the condo that I want on the Upper West Side of Manhattan.
I'm sure all the game developers are moving to Upper Manhattan. You would think you would think by the amount of people that you just meet on a daily basis that talk about Pokemon, right? And I'm talking like running into somebody at a grocery store and being like, oh, you have a Pokemon keychain. My favorite Pokemon game is Pokemon Snap. You would just think of just like all these conversations we've had over 20 years with just random people that Pokemon Snap was like the greatest game ever invented, and we should have a sequel to it. And then that sequel comes out and it only like sells 2 million, which is like silly to say because 2 million is a lot, but like not compared to the other crazy numbers that Pokemon does, like 12 million for Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, 13 million for Heart Gold, Soul Silver, 15 million for Black and White, 23 million for Sword and Shield. It's just like, you would just think it would have done better.
But like Pokemon Conquest only sold 1 million. Like side games don't sell as much.
Yeah. True.
Like they just don't. And I think I also don't think pure numbers actually show success, right? Like, return on investment, 2 million copies if your game costs a third of what it costs to do a regular game is the exact same return on investment, right? Like, you got a third of the sales, but it also costs a third of what it was to produce. So the profit is the same.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say, like, that's a bad number because we just don't know all the factors going into it. It doesn't sound as impressive as a main series game, but that's not the only factor that businesses look at. And, you know, it got a lot of buzz. A lot of people talked about it, and that's the sort of intangible stuff outside of sales, because only hardcore people and us on this podcast really care about sales numbers.
Yeah, and it's also not pure desire, right? Because you just have to look over the past year how many people wanted to get a Switch and couldn't because they just weren't in the stores, right? Those sales could have been much higher if everybody who wanted a Switch could get a Switch.
Just some other game sales here. Mystery Dungeon was 1.26 million for the Switch.
Wow, I'm surprised they made that many.
Pokken Tournament DX was 1.38 million, which is actually kind of impressive that Pokken outsold Mystery Dungeon. Again, I feel like Mystery Dungeon has that same aura around it where people are always like, make a new Mystery Dungeon. And it's like, yeah, but who's buying
it's really
them?
It's just really just the people you know.
There's clearly a million people who are buying them.
Mario Golf Super Rush, 2 million. Pikmin 3 Deluxe, 2 million. ARMS, 2.38 million. Among Us, 3.2 million on the Switch specifically. I regret that I was one of the 3.18 million that bought 1-2 Switch because I couldn't possibly imagine Nintendo would mess up that game, and it was easily the worst money I've ever spent. Like, it was 1-2 Switch was so terrible. It was bad. It was not good.
You got deceived, bro.
Link's Awakening, which was a remake that also probably had the same complaints that Diamond and Pearl had, which is like, why would I spend money on this? It sold 5.5 million.
Interesting thing. According to what I am sort of seeing, roughly, there were 75 million 3DS units across the world, and there are 92.8 million Switches in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
So Switch is what, 5 years old? Four?
Yeah.
Five. Just turned five. Or will just be turning five, I think. The 3DS is over 10 now.
Yep.
I hated the 3DS.
I'm well aware.
Yeah. Well, I don't know why. It was fine. I just turned the 3D part off because it hurt.
Yeah,
my eyes.
That's part of the reason. That's like, I don't think I've ever used the 3D besides the first day. You know what really jaded me on 3DS? One, I was one of those early adopters, and I paid. Okay. I paid however much, and then I got the like brand ambassador, whatever.
Yeah, I got one of those. That's my favorite game. When you street pass me, it's the brand ambassador certificate.
But I remember being so mad because I sold my DSi XL. Loved the DSi. Loved the DSi XL. But the 3DS played DS games at such a bad resolution. And was awful, and I hated it. And I didn't learn until later you could hold like the select button down when you booted up a DS game, and it would like put it in native resolution. But I hated it.
I mean, I do believe that certain people told you not to purchase the 3DS when it first came out, and you did it anyways.
I did
so
it. And
the blame sits in your lap.
I think I would have been less jaded if I kept the DSi and then had the 3DS, but I was poor.
Oh, well.
And I couldn't even afford, and obviously my priorities was need the new Nintendo handheld console with no games out for it.
Again! Many people told you there's no games. Why do you need it now? And yet here we are.
Here we are.
I mean, I have every. I never sell. I never turn anything Nintendo.
I still
related.
Have my Wii U
have stuff
hooked
so
up to
much.
My TV.
I finally disconnected my Wii U when we redid the entire living room.
Although I need, I hate that these words are going to come out of my mouth in this order, but I need the Wii controllers to go with my Wii U and the antenna bar, the bar IR reader, the thing, so it could see the controllers.
I am Wii U-less.
I mean, I
could
have
sell
a
you
Wii
one
U.
for a couple hundred dollars.
It's with all the other game systems that I finally disconnected, saying, I'll never play these.
Speaking of games never getting played, Pokemon Unite, Zarina is now available.
I logged in on my mobile phone to claim it and then promptly logged off because I didn't want to miss it.
Kick off the competition. This is off Pokemon.com. Kick off the competition. Pokemon Unite with Zarina now available to join your team. This Pokemon is a melee all-arounder and is ready to glide, kick, and stomp its way to victory. Zarina will start as Bounsuite, evolving to Steenee at 4 and Zarina at 6. Wow, that's like really fast. I don't know how long it's for free. It doesn't say on this.
Somewhere said it's like 10 days or something.
Yeah, you just have to log in within a week to get it.
Yeah, you just have to log in. Like, if you're hearing this and you like Unite, just log in on your phone now. It will give you a claim button, claim it, and you don't have to do anything else. Also, have they put the big nerfs in yet?
Maybe. Hold on. I have another article here.
Okay.
Actually, this article talks about Zarina. This one's also off Pokemon.com. Pokemon Unite is embracing the merriment of the season with the holiday festivals running from December 15th. I actually think that's when the big update starts. Yeah. To January 16th. Players can get special login gifts and reward boxes containing limited license and trainer fashion items, earn special rewards with the Illuminating Challenge and Photo Challenge, and add two new Unite licenses to their collection as Zarina and Dragonite enter the fray. And by taking part in snowball battles in Shivery City, players can watch their Pokemon transform into snowman during battle. From January 1st through January 3rd, the Unite license for all Pokemon will be temporarily made available to all players at no cost, allowing trainers to use any Pokemon in any battle except ranked matches. From December 9th through 31st, the Unite license for Zarina will be available at no cost, so you have till the end of the year.
You have till the end of the year. There you go.
On December 20th, the Unite license for Dragonite will be available. The powerful moves like Dragon Breath, Outrage, and Draco Impact, this melee all-arounder harness, so it's the same as Zarina, is impressive heft and draconic might to dole out maximum damage. The Illumination Challenge will run from December 15th to January 16th, and the Photo Challenge will run from December 24th to January 6th. Participate in the Illumination Challenge by selecting the Holiday Tree in the lobby to complete the daily missions and challenges. By completing these missions, players can light up the Holiday Tree to earn fun rewards, including trainer snapshot frame and background, and one-day limited license, and trainer fashion items, and more. The Photos Challenge doesn't run full length of the festivities, but it serves up plenty of fun. Players can participate in standard battles, quick battles, ranked matches, and the snowball battle in Shivery City to collect snowflakes. These snowflakes can be used to reveal parts of a photo hidden by a silhouette. Collect lots of snowflakes to complete the photo and earn rewards. And then the Halloween like pumpkin thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Halloween. Mm-hmm. It seems somewhat similar here. It says 4-on-4 quick battle, snowball battle. Opposing Pokemon are knocked out, will become snowmen for a little limited time. Pokemon that are turned into snowmen will not be able to move, but they can visually assist their teammates. While a Pokemon is a snowman, its basic attack will instead cause it to jump in the air. Its moves are moves will do different poses, such as cheering, waving, and giving thumbs up. When a Pokemon snowman form ends, it will leap from the snow and return to battle.
Oh, interesting.
Players can defeat Delibird to receive a gift box containing one random battle item that replaces the current battle item. Additionally, Wild Avalug will appear in the center of the map and will be replaced with Articuno. And then it talks about that there's like a bunch of like holiday seasonal costumes and gifts and stuff that you can unlock. And the real news here is that they are adding more $40 skins. The Crustle skin of him being like a fruitcake or something. Is that what he's supposed to be?
I have to see it again, but
yeah, I gotta look this up.
I'm pretty sure the Crustle skin and the Pikachu skin, which is Pikachu in like a Santa outfit, are both $40.
Yeah, but does the Pikachu have a hat? That's what's
oh good. Yeah, you better believe it.
Oh yeah, 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 okay. Yeah. Definitely has a hat.
Very important.
Where are the this is the holiday.
I see one that's a Crustle as a hamburger, but I don't think that's official.
Not with that attitude. Cramorant finally getting a skin. It looks like it's in the $10 range. I think 6,000. I think I saw 6,800 EOS gems, which is about $10.
So Pikachu is in a Santa outfit with a hat. Crustle is looks like a iced cinnamon bun.
Oh, cinnamon bun. Okay.
With a strawberry on top and bells. Cramorant is in a chef's outfit. Snorlax is
which is a really really outfit. Good, honestly. The Cramorant chef. I mean, like, obviously I'm a huge Cramorant fan, but his outfit is actually like legit like good. Like Snorlax's is kind of boring.
Yeah. Well, so Cramorant's really just got the hat and this cute bib and tie. Like it's pretty simple, really, but it simple works on Cram.
Oh, it's still gonna get Steve's money.
Oh yeah.
Mr. Mimes is just an apron and a handkerchief. And then multiple Pokemon are getting hats. Yes. And I don't know like what the requirement for getting the
I'm going to guess that the basic hat is just probably something you unlock through rewards.
Probably.
We will never be able like I can't imagine like the commentary around $40 skins is never going to end.
And this until they introduce $60 skins.
Right. This is the same thing in like Apex. And I've talked about how Apex has like $20 gun skins and no one is going to see your gun skin because you will be dead before they reach you to look at your gun skin. And if they took a second to look at your gun after you die, they will also then die because Apex is so fast. And it gets compared. And I'm not trying to justify like, oh, the $40 is fair. It's not. But it gets compared to like League, where League I think is like what $8 for a skin or something. The sad reality is people are buying these.
Well, yeah, I mean that's just been the sad reality for a lot of these things. But the sort of math that happens with, particularly since Unite has been in a weird place, is. How much is that hurting your core business, right? Like, when people... It's like when Pokemon Go was showing a lot of its flaws and people are like, why are you charging me money for this? Like, Unite had to make, and I think still has to make, some big changes to its gameplay before people are looking at... Like, I paid $40 for a skin for a game nobody plays anymore because the game is so bad. It's hard to sort of... parse out where that line is going to be. But when things are that expensive, your game has to remain a very high quality so people who pay for that don't feel ripped off.
Yeah, and I think that's what Apex has at least done well, is like even though a gun will be $20, obviously the whole game is free. You don't have to buy the gun. It's all cosmetic. It doesn't do anything. They have continued every season to make improvements, balance the game, introduce new weapons, change the map. And it's like Apex is almost 3 years old, I think. Turns three in like March. And it continues to win awards and it continues to do very well on the charts of like most downloaded. And they talk about how their player base is continuing to grow, which is really good for a 2+ year old game. And that's the worry with Unite is, it doesn't seem like it's growing. It seems like more and more people are just not interested in going back to it.
Yeah, but where? Because is it fine in China? Because their money, I hate to say it this way, but their money is just as green as ours. You know, they may cut off development of the English language version and just make it Chinese.
They could. I mean, yeah, it depends on where it's doing well. I mean, I do think that they are going to try, because I know that there's a huge balance update coming for a lot of things that I'm hoping will alter the game to make it more balanced that people want to come back? Like,
yeah, I mean, one of the problems right now is Lucario being able to, like,
right,
solo the top lane by itself.
Like, it's interesting that I think in the December notes, like, Gardevoir is learning things earlier. They've dropped the levels down of when, and same with Mamoswine, I think. Like, they've dropped the levels of when you learn things to, because they didn't make sense before, and it was so long before you got those things. And then, you know, the big ones, the big problems are taking a hit. Greninja, Lucario, Greedent, and Zeraora are, you know, getting hit with nerfs, and they need to be, because, you know, it quickly made the game unfun.
Yeah.
And so we have to see again. The weird thing is it's a cat, like, they made it such a casual game that I don't know that for the casual player who made it really hype for such a long time, hearing that they fixed the bugs to make the game more fun draws you back if you treated it casually anyways. Like, I think a lot of people found it easy to walk away from because it wasn't that compelling, and it was kind of frustrating for a huge amount of time. I do think that Dragonite will drag some people back because that's such a hugely popular Pokemon. But yeah. I don't know that finally fixing the balance of your game is enough to get people to come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm agree. If they wait too long, then lost is lost.
And it's been months since Lucario has been
dominant.
So broken.
Yeah.
And it's been a it's the same with Venusaur, who's been, you know, people are very frustrated with how that runs. And that's not listed in the things that they're fixing, that I've seen, at least.
Do you, I can see the thought process of, okay, well, we're nerfing these three, but let's leave Venusaur the same because we're boosting Gardevoir and Garchomp and other things, and maybe that will help balance specifically Venusaur. You don't want to take a character that
right
all the way to zero. And that's maybe the worry with, like, Lucario is just, do people completely stop playing it?
I mean, in seeing what they're doing, it's not huge. Like, it is a nerf, but it, overall, it doesn't sound like enough to undo it. But, you know, we'll see.
It seems overall their Christmas event seems good, though.
Yeah, I mean, the Halloween event, I will say this, the Halloween event was super fun when I played it for a while, but not
like log in every day and play.
Yeah, not log in
every
day because I want to do this. Like, it was fun when people were like, let's play Unite tonight. Let's do some of the snow events. And I was like, sure, I'll hop in and play. You know, that's a very casual map with a very silly mechanic. Sure, I'll jump in and do it. And the winter one sounds the same. Like, it sounds like a fun, silly mechanic, but they are competing with some big heavy hitter games around this time frame. And I don't know if that is, I don't know if they're going to see what they want to see, because there's a lot of competition in December for people's time.
Yeah. I think the other thing that's, like, a little surprising is, like, Unite did so well when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to have pretty good momentum for the first month or so, like more momentum than it feels like Diamond and Pearl has. It just feels like people are just already over Diamond and Pearl, to me at least. I mean, maybe, I know somebody's like, I'm playing it right now. Yeah, I get it. It just, like,
well, also Diamond, we haven't, it's hard to say that for Diamond and Pearl because we haven't hit the holidays.
Yeah.
Right. Like, we'll probably see a huge resurgence of people playing.
And also, like, the last week has been exam weeks for college kids and stuff, so.
Well, also, some of the things that people like surprise trading and things, don't exist in Brilliant Diamond. And the Union Room is still limited. Like, the stuff that people use to play with other people that gets them excited don't really exist in that game right now. You can go to the Underground with 8 people.
Yeah. Hallway Simulator. Just the surprising thing is, like, it came out on mobile, and I just thought that would be, like, this huge resurgence of new players, and it just seemed like At that point, no one cared.
Because they did not allow for controllers.
Yeah, that was 100% why I don't play it on mobile.
If they allowed controllers, I would play it on my iPad.
Yeah, I would play it on my iPad too. 100% if I could have controller use. Because I got a controller for my iPad. Finally, I broke down and bought one. And then found out Unite can't use it, so I don't play Unite on my iPad. And I would. I mean, it's right there. I could power it up while I'm on a work call way easier than anything else in my house. But
as somebody who played in a $20,000 tournament with Galaxy Z Fold 3, because that's what they forced us to play on, you learn real fast how to play on a touch screen. It was fine. There was some things easier on the touchscreen, of course, versus the controller. But then there were some things that were harder. And there was, I don't know how you, there's no like best of both worlds. But
right.
At the end of the day, I definitely preferred a controller. It ran great on the Samsung phone they sent me. Yeah.
I mean, it looks beautiful on my iPad, but I can't play it with a controller, and I don't want to hold my iPad awkwardly.
Yeah, that was probably my biggest problem, is that the phone is heavier than a Switch Pro controller.
Right.
So you're like, almost like you're getting like fatigue holding this device.
It's not ideal. Because I have to hold it in a certain way, and so I'd have to hold it up or down. Like, with my iPad, I can set it up like a TV screen and play with my controller, and I could do it like that, but I can't because it doesn't accept it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I guess we'll circle back on Unite when Dragon Knight comes out or when this holiday event starts. It seems fun.
I mean, I know a lot of people are excited about Dragon Knight coming out. But, you know, I don't know if that's actually going to translate into people playing it in the same fever that they were.
Oh, you know what I did see? This is a Twitch thing, but I saw that one of the biggest Twitch streamers, her name is Lily Pichu. She had an ad to play Unite. Like, they paid her to play it. And she's obviously a huge League of Legends player on Twitch and YouTube. But I don't know if that's their strategy now, is like to go after these big... I mean, it's a good strategy, honestly, to go after these big League of Legends players.
I think Nightblue 3, also got like a Unite push as well, if I recall properly.
But I don't think you're ever convincing a League of Legends player. Like, League of Legends players already hate themselves. I don't think you're going to be able to, like, convince them to play a Pokemon game that's probably not nearly as good as League is. And that's kind of the thing that people say with Unite, is, like, if it's your first MOBA, it's a good introduction, but there are better MOBAs out there. The only draw here is if you love Pokemon. Or maybe you love losing to Zapdos. I don't know. It's interesting. I feel like Unite's just eventually going to be Pokken Tournament, where the seven people in the world are very good at it, and they play it at tournaments, and that's it.
Probably.
I mean, at least Pokken Tournament is really fun to watch, even though you haven't played it in like 3 years. It's at least entertaining to watch at a high level.
I mean, I enjoy watching people play Unite sometimes. I think it's...
I watched you play Unite, yeah. I think
it's enjoyable.
Go for it,
but
little Cramorant.
Watching other people play it doesn't make me want to play it. Because I have experience with it where I'm like, The thing with Unite is, even though the matches are short, I still feel like this is a time commitment that I'm locked into for it. For a chunk of time, and I don't want to do that right now. It's the weirdness of, like, I don't want to watch a full-length movie, but I will definitely stream 4 30-minute TV shows back-to-back. But sitting through a 2-hour movie? No, thank you. I think it was that mentality of having natural breaks or being able to... Like, with Diamond and Pearl, I'm like, I can just stop wherever I am and put the game down and walk away if I need to. And I don't feel like you can do that in Unite.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we have some Pokemon Go news and a little bit of Pokemon Masters news. And we'll see how far Will is in Diamond and Pearl. So we will be right back.
Not far.
This podcast is brought to you by Every Plate.
Experience full plates and fuller wallets with America's best value meal kit. Look, the holidays are upon us, and give yourself and your wallet a break. Enjoy delicious, affordable meals delivered to your door, ready to go in just 6 simple steps. And every plate is 50% cheaper than a meal made from the grocery store ingredients. So now is the perfect time to focus on saving money easily.
I am still on the Every Plate bandwagon. I have still not made an Every Plate, but I can confirm my wife likes making the Every Plates.
Are you at one point going to like take over Every Plate duties for, as a holiday miracle?
That would be. I should do an Every Plate cooking stream to see if I can do it. Their instructions are on like just a single piece of paper. It's really easy. They send everything in nice boxes. You can slide the boxes right into the fridge. Nice. Anytime there's like something, if their instructions say spicy, I'm in. Because whatever spice they have is good.
If their instructions say spicy?
I'm very
in. Is that like the listing on the actual website? Because I'm looking at and some of them do say spicy.
Yeah. Their website is really easy to navigate. You can like pick and choose, and then you can like minus things and add things. It's really great. Your recipes come together in about 30 minutes. It's definitely faster than a trip to a grocery store and starting a meal from scratch.
Try Every Plate for just $1.79 per meal by going to everyplate.com and entering code SUPEREFFECTIVE179. You can try Every Plate for just $1.79 per meal by going to everyplate.com and entering code SUPEREFFECTIVE179.
Thank you to Every Plate for sponsoring this episode.
Ooh, this pork chops over cabbage stir fry looks real good.
And we are back from our break. All right, let's do a Diamond and Pearl check-in, Will.
I'm on my way to Pastoria City, but the thing is, being the person that I am, Greg, don't give me that look.
I'm trying to figure out, that's the fourth gym, right?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, he's behind.
Once I got fly, I flew back home to my mom's house and then like explored every part of the map that I had previously been to see what things I could get to that I couldn't get to before using like Cut and Rock Smash. So that's what slowed me down.
You're one of those people.
That I am 100% that person.
I mean, after Pastoria, don't you get Surf?
Yeah.
I mean, then I'll have to go back again because there's back a lot again. Of water features.
You should have waited.
No, there's no waiting. There's no waiting. No. Because then I get to level up my Pokemon, too, because then I can just throw them against those little ones that give you a little bit of experience as you go, right? I'm not going to put my Ponyta against a level 25 Geodude, but I'll go back and do like the level 5 Geodude. And the
wait
Ponyta
till you get those level 60 Geodudes, then you'll really be like, woo.
Well, I don't think Ponyta is going to be around anymore when we get to that point, but who knows?
The amount of people that have come into my Twitch stream and go, man, I'm really over leveled. And then a day later come back going, I can't beat Cynthia is dramatically too high. That game.
Yeah.
I think the over leveling problem started in X and Y because the experience share gave so much.
Mm-hmm.
But X and Y, there's like two sides of this coin, and I don't think people see it unless they replay Pokemon games a lot or they, I don't know, maybe just change their team once. But X and Y does give you a lot of experience. So does Sun and Moon and all the other games. But the second you grab a new Pokemon and you want to level it up, good luck. Because there's nowhere to get experience. The reason that was very apparent to me is because I like did an Egglock. And I think I lost like 5 Pokemon at Clamont. Because he was like able to like charge his Helioptile and then like one-shot a bunch of my Pokemon. And then I was like, okay, no big deal. I'll just, you know, I have all these Pokemon in my box. There's nowhere to level these Pokemon up. Like, literally nowhere to... And before anyone says horde battles, that ain't happening in an Egglock. You ain't risking that. And even if you did, like, the Pokemon they put in horde battles just do not give you experience. Like, you're better off, like, finding the level, like, 9 Audino, and it will give you more experience than 5 Yeah.
They give you EVs. They don't give you experience. Yeah.
And that is the also the problem in newer Pokemon. Like, if you don't change your team ever, if you catch 6 Pokemon, maybe you change out a Pokemon with, like, oh, I'm level 45, but I found this level 40 Crabrawler. Let me switch here. You'll be okay. But this is, it's like the same problem in Diamond and Pearl. At a certain point, you're like, I don't know where to level.
Yeah.
The underground does give you significantly more experience. So I battled a level 60 Tentacruel, and it gave 2,000 experience. And I was like, okay, let me just go above ground. I found a level 30 Tentacruel. So I was like, ideally, you get 1,000. And it only gave 200 experience.
Yeah.
So the underground is giving you more experience, but there is nothing fun about knocking out 30-plus Tentacruels just so you can battle Cynthia. That is not...
In your opinion.
Not great, Brian.
I find that there's too many Tentacruels in the world, and the more that I can take out, the better off everyone is.
Will's Tentacruel assassination glow.
But, again, X and Y had the same problem. That's not this is not exclusive to Diamond and Pearl. Sun and Moon kind of had that problem until you get to the last island when you can, like, SOS Chansey.
Yeah.
Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire didn't have that problem at all. Because if you want experience, let me tell you about Blissey bases. And Sword and Shield, just the candy.
The candy is the greatest thing.
It's, and to anyone that's like, I don't like the candy, it made it so easy. Cool. Don't use it then. Sell it. Throw it away. Let me tell you. If my option is battling 40 Gastrodons or doing 4 max raid battles and then being able to bring like 3 Pokemon up to the appropriate level, I will do the max raid battles because they're more fun. And there is nothing great about putting a Buneary at the start of your party, going into a Gastrodon battle, switching it out, knocking out the Gastrodon, and then putting that on repeat. It's just not fun anymore. It's the same thing with Eevee training. It's like, well, you could just use vitamins. Yeah, you could just use vitamins. And sometimes it's nice. Sometimes when you're trying to build a team for a tiny cup, you don't want to battle 25 Rookidees to get speed Eevee. Sometimes you just want to, you earn the money somehow, right? I have the money. Let me buy the vitamins. Let me inject my Pokemon with vitamins. It's fine. But you don't have to. You can battle the Rookidees if you want. The game has choices. Same thing with experience share. You don't want your Pidgey getting experience share? Great. Open up your box and throw it in. Now it's not getting experience share. You can access your box everywhere. You just have to, I think you just, at least in Diamond and Pearl, you just have to beat the first gym leader. I sincerely, in a game that was like, we're not, in a faithful remake, for the audio show, I'm doing the air quotes, for a faithful remake that then put bottle caps, mints, the ability patch, but no candy, and then gave us no way to get to 100 to
no
use
candy, but rare candy, baby.
The bottle caps? I don't know how. How am I supposed to get to level 100? Please
so
tell me.
So you use the menu glitch to duplicate rare candies. Well,
it's
you had
gone.
To get
they
in.
Took
you
it
had
from
to
us.
Get in at the entry at the, before they took it away.
I mean, to be fair, I think Pickup picks up rare candies somewhat regularly.
I think your Pokemon has to be over 50.
Yeah.
Maybe 40. And then you have like a 1% chance of getting...
I mean, my Pachirisu's grabbing all kinds of wild stuff.
I mean, you do what we did back in the day when you're leveling something is you take the one that you're leveling and 5 Pickup Pokemon... And you just reap in the rewards and hope you get rare candies to finish the way off. Yeah, I've been playing this, I think I've got 70 hours in, and my highest Pokemon is 77. Granted, I haven't really been pushing because I've been doing other things, but I was thinking about, like, if I had to get to 100, I don't know how to do this. Because experience slows down so much the closer you get to 100, and there's an underground caps by your badges. So they'll only...
63 is like the highest.
63 is the highest. The underground still doesn't like showing you second and third evolutions if it doesn't have to. Like, it's really happy showing you the gibbles and...
Yeah, again with the statue stuff. Like, what do I gotta do to stop seeing Geodudes? Or Skorupies? I feel like it's littered with Skorupies.
Well, I mean, that's how they do.
The thing that I've heard is you fill it up with electric statues and you hunt Pachirisu. Because Pachirisu is the best XP giver in the underground.
I would have never guessed that.
Yeah, it gives like... Because I was knocking out Pachirisu, and he was giving me, like, with the lucky eight, like, 4,000 each time. But yeah, like, that's, like, the only trick is find a bunch of electric statues, load them up, and go to the area that Pachirisu pops in, which isn't many. And it's a rare spawn, so you just keep going in and out until you find them, knocking them out. It is a grindy game.
Tweeted the other day that I think Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee is a better remake than Diamond and Pearl. And I didn't read any of the responses. I am sure people are arguing nonstop in the comments of that tweet. I know it got like whatever. But my reasoning behind that is because even though Let's Go Eevee, Let's Go Pikachu is an incredibly tiny game, there's only 150 Pokemon. It's relatively, like, Kanto as a region is relatively small because it's the very first region.
It's very small.
There's not a lot to do after you beat the Elite Four, right? You can hunt the four legends. Well, technically, you can hunt three of them before you get to the Elite Four, but you can hunt the four legends. There's the Master Trainer battles, which is 150 unique battles, but the nature of Kanto, let me introduce you to Protect and Toxic. It'll win almost every single one of those battles. There's no breeding in the game, right? But the shiny hunting is really fun in that game. And even though they increase the amount of trainers on routes, you can't battle wild Pokemon, which is still a weird argument that people are like, I like battling wild Pokemon instead of catching them. It's like the only difference is you're using False Swipe and you're throwing a Pokeball instead of just throwing a Pokeball. I don't know what... It's really, you're not reinventing the wheel here when it comes to catching Pokemon. But the thing that Let's Go does that I just super appreciate is it did the thing that no other Pokemon game did in 22 years or whatever Let's Go came out, which is put the wild Pokemon in the overworld and you can see them and you can run away from them. And that was such a huge thing that to me invoked an emotion of like feeling like I'm playing a Pokemon game for the first time. And it just felt like it felt like moving from Black and White to X and Y and being like, whoa, these Pokemon are in 3D. I can move in every direction. Like it just really felt so fresh. And I think Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee is very delightful for what it is. I don't think it's the world's best Pokemon game, but it took risks. And
it did.
There's just so much charm that game has. Like I had Onyx follow me in Diamond and Pearl. And it's this little tiny snake, and it's like as tall as your character. And I was like, am I losing my mind? Didn't in Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, not only was Onyx correct size, but you like sat on top of Onyx.
Yeah, you could ride
it's like with the Snorlax where you kind of hugged it.
Yeah.
My issue about leveling in Let's Go Eevee is leveling costs money. Like, you have to spend money on Pokeballs
to
be able to level. And whereas in every other game, I can just go knock things out. And that is a free experience thing for me. And limited by how much I want to go back to the center to heal back up. The thing that bothered me in Let's Go Eevee is I had to pay. Granted, they gave you a bunch of money, but still, I had to give money. To get
Pokeballs
to continue catching so that I could continue leveling because I had no other options unless I wanted to continue to fight the Elite Four.
Yeah.
That's a big drawback for me about how those games run. That was my only option and it cost in-game currency.
I also just remember the first time I was like, oh, I wonder what Magikarp's walking animation is and like how it like flopped around you in a circle. I was like, oh my gosh, this is like so adorable, so cute. And I also just don't remember walking through a wall in Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee. It actually worked. It there, like when I played it, the sound just didn't randomly cut out, and then I had to restart the game. And I look at Diamond and Pearl, the remakes, and people are like, "Well, yeah, there's more things to do in post game." Yeah, I mean, I guess I've probably spent 5 of my 85 hours running in a hallway to different rooms. Yeah, there's more to do, but I said this last week, I'm just so tired of mining in walls to get another leaf stone. I don't need any more leaf stones.
I do. I have the Firestone game. I have the Firestone game. All I get are Firestones.
And all I get is leaf stones. It's just, and then, yeah, it's the repetitiveness. All Pokemon games are repetitive. I understand. I get this. It's the repetitiveness of the mining the walls and getting the 17th Lucario statue that I just don't need. And then knocking out Houndoom after Houndoom after Cacturn after Skorupi, and I'm not even level 85 yet. And
I wish that leveling candies were in the walls post game.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I wish I would find a Rosalia statue in the walls of my game and not the 400 Drifloon that I have.
I'm still trying to think what with Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. I can't believe that we're coming full circle on this game. This is the Pokemon loophole of like a Pokemon game is bad and then 5 years later you appreciate it.
No, that game was great. This is your loophole. Mm-hmm. I loved it from the minute. I have been on the bandwagon trying to tell you that you need to rethink your life choices. And here you are 5 years later going, oh, yeah.
Here's some things about Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. Let's introduce like 15 new megas. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Like, I loved almost all the megas that they introduced in Omega Ruby
Alpha
Sapphire.
Okay, I'm going to say this right now because we're not going to talk about it, but the Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire anime for evolutions is the best one they've done.
It is pretty good.
It's good. So it was good. Weird, though, that they like released it and then just spoiled all of the megas because they kept them all a secret and they were like, nah, here they all are all at once. That was a little weird at the time, but that's fine. The flying on Latios Latias.
Felt great.
Fantastic.
Felt great. Loved it.
I could probably name a couple more things, but those two things.
The hoops. All the hoops.
Those two things were like, cool. You did something great here. And then for Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, it was all the Pokemon following you. And like, yes, following Pokemon happened in HeartGold, SoulSilver. It was very basic. But riding on Onix, riding on Lapras, flying on Dragonite, flying on Charizard. Magikarp flipping and flopping, you holding onto Snorlax as you walk, you riding Persian, like every Pokemon had such a great, like thoughtful animation. And we all know that Sword and Shield was just copy and pasted. Not sure how they didn't. If you're listening to this podcast and you have not seen how Ekans follows you
it
in Diamond and Pearl, please. Stop what you're doing. Pull over your car right now. Catch an Ekans in Diamond and Pearl and then have it follow you and get back to me.
I don't have my Switch with me.
Get back to me about copying and pasting.
But then look up the Brick Sounds Ekans video because that sells it right there. It's like outstanding.
I'm so dumbfounded on how they messed the first 151 animations were done in Let's Go. Just Control C, Control V.
Have you watched the Milotic one yet?
No, I have not seen Milotic. Have you seen Gyarados? It is shocking.
But that Sunkern though.
Like, look, I'm like 100 hours in Diamond and Pearl. I'm still playing it. I got a shiny Surskit yesterday. It was very fun. And even though
it was very fun.
Even though the game is buggy, some of the bugs are incredibly funny, and it's like and it's very hard to reproduce them. I don't think I've ever had a bug I was able to reproduce twice in a row. And they always make me laugh and they always make me smile. And even a bad Pokemon game is still very enjoyable. Except Pokemon Dash. That game is awful. But I can't think of anything Diamond and Pearl has done that is like, boy, I hope they bring that back in a new Pokemon game. I think Pokemon fans get mad because a feature is introduced and then a game, like Megas is a really good example. People were bummed about Sword and Shield because it was missing Megas. People were bummed about Diamond Pearl because it was missing Megas. People were bummed.
Dynamax?
Well, maybe
Dynamax
not. Well,
is
you got to wait 3 years for people to, you know, appreciate Dynamax. From Omega Ruby to Sun and Moon, it's like, oh, Dexnav is gone, right? Like, I think it's very easy for a Pokemon fan.
I would say the only thing I would see is Poké-Radar, but, like, that was in the old games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They did contest dirty in this one.
They certainly did.
But the big worry from Let's Go to Sword and Shield, and we talked about this on the show 3 years ago or whatever, was, oh, are they getting rid of overworld Pokemon? Because, like, that is the thing that they should have been keeping. And they mm-hmm. did. They pulled one over on us, right? They didn't show it in the first trailer. They waited, like, 3 months after the first trailer to be like, hey, there are actually overworld Pokemon. What is Diamond and Pearl doing that, like, they took a chance and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad they did this. I hope this is in the next Pokemon game. Really, and I get it, it's Ilka, it's not Game Freak, but if you're going to like remake a game, take a risk, give me something.
No, they were not allowed to take any risks. Mm-mm.
And I will say that the risks that Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire took were pretty safe. Of like, okay, here's some new Megas, and here's the flying mechanic. Like, everything in Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire was really safe, but at least they tried to branch out a bit. I don't know. It's just frustrating that beginning part of Diamond and Pearl for me was so grindy and so, like, hit your head against the wall of, like, I don't want to battle another trainer. I know they have 6 Magikarp. I don't want to be here. And then the Elite Four was a great moment. Probably the strongest moment of that game is battling that Elite Four.
Mm-hmm. And the visuals of battling the Box Legendary.
Yeah, Dialga, Palkia were really great. And then I was like, okay, post-game always seems to redeem a Pokemon game. And the post-game is just as grindy as the story was. Like, if I could sum up this, like, I have always thought that HeartGold, SoulSilver is the most grindy Pokemon game. But now the Diamond and Pearl remakes have really taken the cake on that.
Snatched the crown. They've come and said, hold my orange juice.
I don't know how this game looks in, like, 6 months.
See, I'm curious how this game looks and what the plans are post-Arceus.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting
world.
Curious if
anything is planned that we just don't know about how those two things are going to interact. And, like, they've already shown that there is the ability for it to read save data, because we know with the Mew and the Jirachi thing, like, it that code is there. I'm just curious I'm curious, slightly hopeful, that something about the games will change post-Arceus. I don't know what that is, but I'm hoping there's something. Because I do feel like, given how Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl plays, that everyone's like, oh, that seems so quick, that Arceus coming out in 45 days does not seem quick compared to how much you kind of want to be done with Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl.
I can see that.
I also, we talked about this, I think, on the miniseries, Greg. I wonder how many people get to Cynthia, lose, try again, lose, and then go, I'm done.
A non-insignificant number.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I've heard a couple of people who said they got very frustrated, but it was a thing that they wanted to beat, but had to do things very, very specifically to be able to do that, because over-leveling and grinding just wasn't an option, right? Like, that was... it's not easy to do. So they had to come up with ways. But I think there is a good amount of people who, I tried it twice, I can't beat it, I'm gone.
Okay, let's take one more break before we get to Pogo news.
Because there's a lot.
There's a lot, and then we will wrap up the show. So we will be right back.
I respect underwater Christmas.
You always need more Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Underwater Christmas. Underwater Christmas. I'm kind of into that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody probably watched The Little Mermaid before they went into this.
I will say the holiday is very cute.
You always need more Christmas.
Underwater Christmas. Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Underwater Christmas. Christmas.
Adorable.
And we are back from our break. PokemonGoLive.com. Pokemon Tour Go Tour returns. Next stop, Johto. Trainers. We are thrilled to see how many trainers enjoy the Pokemon Go Tour Kanto event. We're excited to announce that we'll be holding another Pokemon Go Tour event celebrating Johto. Celebrate gold and silver in a whole new way. Remakes confirmed. This ticket event of Pokemon Go Tour Johto, trainers will be able to choose between gold version or silver version with event-exclusive Pokemon, which I don't think they've revealed yet. Complete special research, test your Pokemon collection skills to encounter Celebi with a special move. Trading with a friend who chose the other version will be just as important, like in the original gold and silver. After completing the Go Tour Johto research, trainers will be able to access exclusive Masterwork research line. Stay tuned for details and difficulty on this. So the Masterworks last time was for Shiny Mew. They're saying you're going to get Celebi. So Celebi isn't part of the Master Research line. So I'd be curious of what that is supposed to be. Tickets are now live. Stay tuned for more details for the in-person event going live. If you purchase your ticket by the following dates, you will also receive access to the Season of Heritage January and February timed research. So kind of what they did last time.
Yep.
The actual event will take place on Saturday, February 26th from 9 to 9. This global event will be live. In addition to the free experience, trainers can purchase a ticket for an exclusive experience. On Sunday, February 27th, trainers will be able to participate in an in-person event at select locations. To homage the end of the Pokemon Gold and Silver, trainers will take their next steps to the appearance from Pokemon from the Kanto region. Oh boy. I made a joke about this before I read this part of the press release, but hey, you can always use a little more Kanto in your life, right?
Yep.
That's the way it is.
Tickets are $11.99. All Pokemon discovered in the research in the Johto region will appear in the wild in raids. And will be encountered in research tasks, attracted to incense, hatched from eggs. Trading will happen via evolution. You will get an encounter with the mythical Pokemon Celebi.
That will know a special move.
Do we know what that special move is?
No. Once you complete the research line, you will get access to the second exclusive Masterworks story, which is intended for a long period of time. This was a huge issue last time. Why did it get so bright in this room? Jeez. Sorry, YouTube.
The sun came out.
I'm like very pale now for the YouTube
video. Now.
Yeah, now. I've never been pale before.
Never.
So this was a problem for some players last year because they bought the ticket with the intent of getting Shiny Mew. That's what they wanted. They paid money for right. $11.99. They wanted the Shiny Mew, and then they found out later that you had to be level 40, and you had to do this very long research task to get it.
Still working on it.
You would still get it, right? But you would still get it, but you had to like work for it, which is, again, it's the difference in players. You know, some players are like, oh, they just hand out shiny so easy. I just walk to GameStop, I get my shiny. Zygarde was like one of the last ones they did. And then other players are like, I want shinies that like, what happened to the Victini? That's not even a shiny, but the Victini and Unova, you know, you had to go beat two gyms and then go to this island and get it. I think my perspective has always been like, I like the fact that like you had to do the quest. Like it was kind of a fun quest, and yeah, it was really long and tedious, but I don't know. It was fine. It was like you're paying for content, right? Like you want like a value
you're paying
out
to
of
play the game.
You want
yes.
value out of the video game you're paying for. But we don't know what we're getting. Now, again, before people, again, this was another problem last year. People bought the thing, and then they revealed later on that this was a very, you had to be 40, this was very long. You don't have to buy the ticket right now. If we don't know what the Masterworks quest line is. We don't know how long it is. We don't know what the requirements are. We don't know what Pokemon you get at the end. Yes, you will get two free dollar ticket things early for pre-ordering early. But if you're on the fence, it's okay. Like, I literally didn't buy my ticket until the day before the Kanto event. It's fine. Heck, you could buy the ticket while the Kanto event started. It was okay. There was...
Yep. Yep. It's like, unlike GoFest, they will have an unlimited number of tickets for this event.
So you do not have to buy it. If you're a player that's like, I'm going to buy it no matter what the Masterwork research story is, cool. You're going to save like $2 because you'll get the January research and you'll get the February research. That's cool.
I'm not pre-buying this. I made that mistake last time.
You do not have to give Niantic your money.
And now you don't have a Galarian Mr. Mime.
I do. Oh. I have it in a different game.
So we're all flying to DC for the second half of the event, right?
Here's the thing is they said there will be the second day there will be IRL locations.
Yeah.
I want to know them.
DC. We're going to DC. It's going to be DC.
Are we traveling? Are we going to like I will travel for this event. I will do it. I'm vaccinated. I'm okay with getting on an airplane. I'm okay with wearing a mask. Heck, it's winter. Even if there wasn't a global pandemic, I like having a mask on my face because it's cold outside. I would like to experience, like, tell me it's in Florida. Tell me it's in Texas. Tell me it's somewhere warm because as much...
Last time, Texas was worse than here. I'm going to point that out. You're like, let's go somewhere warm. It's Texas. And Texas was miserable. So I will not hear this nonsense post-global climate change that we will successfully go to a place that has better weather than here. It's nonsense.
The St. Louis event was incredible, minus the weather.
Yes.
If the weather was perfect, boy, that would have been one of the best pogo days of my life.
True, true.
So if they're saying there will be an IRL select location on Sunday in February... Please let me know as soon as possible where it is so I can buy tickets, because I would like to go to said location to experience that.
DC.
All Pokemon discovered in the Johto region will be shiny, some for the first time. This includes Letters of Unknown, G-O-T-U-R-J, which will appear using incense. You are more likely to encounter shiny Pokemon in the wild depending on which version you have selected. Earn rewards to level up your Elite Collector medal by completing 9 collection challenges. A free bundle containing 3 remote raid passes will be available. Eggs will be 1/4 their hatch difference. Twice candy for eggs. Extra candy catching Johto Pokemon. You will get 9 raid passes during the event if you bought the ticket. You will get an in-game medal. You will get snapshot surprises. You will get special stickers by spinning Pokestops. If you do not decide to buy a ticket, this is what you're going to get. You're going to get some Pokemon discovered in the wild from the Johto region, and in eggs, and in raids. Pokemon discovered in the Johto region, exclusive to region, will be appearing worldwide, so it sounds like you do not need a ticket to get Corsola and Heracross. Igglybuff, Pichu, Togepi will hatch from 2K eggs, and you will get timed research related to trainer battles. If you decide to get the gold version, you'll have Pokemon such as Spinarak, Gligar, Teddiursa, and Mantine attracted to incense. You also have the increase of the following shiny Pokemon: Chikorita, Cyndaquil, Totodile, Spinarak, Igglybuff, Natu, Hoppip, Sunkern, Misdreavus, Wobbuffet, Gligar, Shuckle, Teddiursa, Swinub, Mantine, and Ho-Oh. If you get the silver version, you're going to be looking at Ladybug, Delibird, Skarmory, and Phanpy. You will also have an increased chance of getting Chikorita, Cyndaquil, Totodile, Ladybug, Cleffa, Sudowoodo, Hoppip, Yanma, Pineco, Delibird, Skarmory, Houndour, Fanfee, Miltank, Larvitar, and Lugia. And it says that the select few cities will celebrate a special step back in Kanto on Sunday. It is completely optional. You can choose to participate in both the global or the in-person one. The choice is yours. Remember, the Johto is only experienced on the February the 26th. $11.99 or local currency. Please be aware of your surroundings.
Which event had the giant egg that we watched?
With all the raids. That was Go Tour.
Was it?
No, not Go Tour. It was Go Fest, because it was that night.
Oh, right.
And
then it was like, oh, Hoopa's doing all these legendaries.
I think $11.99 is a good price.
I think it was last year.
Wasn't it $14.99 last year?
I feel like it was, but it was also
maybe it was.
It's a decent price. I like that they do this. You know, this is something we've never really talked about in the show, but comes up pretty quickly, frequently. I get the question all the time of like, what happens when Pokemon Go runs out of Pokemon? I don't think that's the issue. I don't think that's the question you should be asking. They drip feed Pokemon so slowly, but people are still playing the game very actively.
Mm-hmm.
And there are just so many of, like, no one, there's not a single person out there, I'm so confident of this, that stopped playing Pogo, and then they said, hey, Drudigan is now live, and they're like, well, I haven't played Pogo in 2 years, but I gotta get Drudigan. That person does not exist.
Oh, well, no. There's like one person.
I'm not saying there's multiples. I am saying that person exists. I will stand on a rock that there is one person out there that was what got them back in.
The person that lives outside of my frame of reference, but I recognize does present a significant portion of the Pokemon Go playing community. Last Monday, I was in a staff meeting at work, and one of my coworkers said, I just spent way too much money on Pokemon Go over the weekend. And I'm like, this dude has never played a console-based Pokemon game ever, literally only plays Pokemon Go. What is the obsession with playing Pokemon Go? And he was like, well, I had to keep doing the Zekrom and Reshiram raids because I needed to get the shiny ones so that I could trade them for perfect IV ones. And I'm like, perfect rating, CP, the 3, 6, 9 stars. And I'm like, nobody needs that. Nobody needs that. But for him, like, he is obsessed with having, like, perfect every single Pokemon.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
I believe it. Like, it's we all like get indoor things.
The most useless. I'd rather collect Beanie Babies over perfect Pokemon in Pokemon Go. Because at least then I've got something to put in my casket when I'm dead.
You know? Yeah, I'm writing that down.
Yeah. What happens when Pokemon Go runs out of Pokemon? Is the game going to die? I think Niantic has proven that they can just create events, and the events, whether they're big or like even this Dragon event, like they introduce Drudigan, they make Vulpix spawn everywhere. Vulpix is not a dragon. Sometimes you see a Dragonair. That is still exciting for people to be like, I don't have a Dragonite, and now I'm seeing at least one or two Dratini a day, and I can find a wild Dragonair. Like the Pokemon Go community, or player base, I should say, is so big, but you really only hear from like the top 1% because they're so active, and they're so vocal, and they're so loud, and they think that all these events are boring and useless. But if you just take a step back and talk to somebody who maybe plays Pokemon Go 10 minutes a day and they don't put a lot of money in it, but they love it, like these events are so exciting. And these events are why they play every single day and come back. And the difference between this and Unite is Pokemon Go brings people back. Like, there are, like, as you could say, like, this Dragon event is useless, but their events bring people back from time and time again. Like my sister has only spent money on these big events. She is the first to spend $11.99 on this event and dedicate the whole entire day. But she doesn't spend $20 a week on raid passes. She's not level 40. Well, she doesn't have a million shinies. She doesn't even know when community days are unless I text her and be like, "Hey, are you doing community day?" And she's like, "I didn't know it was today."
Well, and there's also people like who haven't been in since day one. Like, let's say I just started dating somebody and he was like, "Oh, well, you like to play Pokemon Go, so that's something I want to do with you." And then these events help him get Pokemon that he didn't get access to before, right? And there will always be newcomers to the game. It's an evergreen game.
Is this how you're telling us we have somebody new to meet, Will?
Would you stop?
You're announcing it formally on the show?
No.
I'd expected a text at least. A little heads up.
Yeah, geez, come on.
The thing is, I always try to tell people, because it comes up in work. At best, you hear from 20% of your customer base. At best, 80% of anybody who uses any product will never tell you a single thing about it. They'll never talk to you about it. They're quiet. They just do their thing. They come and go as they please. When we see people talking about things, we are hearing from a tiny percentage of the people actually using the product. So I guarantee there are people who are like, "I only come back when there's something new introduced in the game, because I can take it or leave it." And like, they are not going to be the people going on Twitter complaining about this community day or this release schedule. They are the people like, it is a thing that I do in my spare time. I don't talk about it. I have no desire to talk about it. I don't listen to people talk about it. It exists as a thing. Like, there's a lot of games that I play that I do not do podcasts for, FYI.
Well, until we start Magic the Gathering.
Oh, well, look, you got to be on TikTok to get my Magic the Gathering hot hit.
Oh, dag nabbit. That's not going to happen.
I know. That's why I don't send them to you.
We talked about the holiday stuff last week, right? I believe we did.
Which holiday stuff?
The Bergmite and everything coming to go. Yeah.
Well, I think, holiday related, I think something that's very important is the fact that you can now save your own postcards and the postcards people send you. Because I know somebody who literally stopped playing Go because they didn't want to lose the postcards that they had collected while they were in a foreign country.
Interesting. I have the postcard news here. This holiday season, we're excited to introduce the postcard book. Whenever a trainer sends a gift or a postcard from a location that is attached to a Pokestop location from the gift was, ever want to save the memory from locations that you or your friends visited, you'll soon be able to do that by pinning postcards to your postcard book. It will be released at the start of the holiday events, which I think is the 15th it starts. You can access the postcard book in your item bag. You can pin postcards. The little pin will like be next to the open button. It doesn't say how many you can pin. I'm looking. You can delete them after you pin them. You can opt out with privacy stuff. I love this. I think this is great. There are definitely stops that, like, when I spin it, like the Dora the Explorer stop at Mall of America. I always think that, like, or the Swipers or the SpongeBob. Like, I always think those are like really fun to send because big people know SpongeBob versus like some random statue in like a downtown area that they probably won't get, but like, I got like a SpongeBob one.
I only send very specific people the Pokeball, the Pokestop that has my old dog on it, because I took that picture. Only very specific people get that. So if you got it, keep it, because you're in the elite club.
I think that's great. My only worry is that the postcard book can only hold like 20 postcards, yeah, and then you have to pay to hold more.
We just have to put coins in it. You can get 50 coins a day.
That's true. You definitely can.
I think we talked about the old, the new holiday stuff. I think we talked about the old one, but not the Bergmite coming out. Burgermeister, Meisterburgers debut. I don't think we talked about that. I don't remember talking about Burgermeister Meister coming.
Well, now we got a bunch of people who are going to start playing again because they can get Bergmite.
Yeah, that's what's really going to bring people
and
back.
Avalug. Look, Jeff Theed has been waiting
moment. This is his moment to shine.
We did last week talk about the Holiday Cup coming back.
Right.
So
but I don't think we talked about Burgermites.
The full event starts on the 16th, goes to the 31st. Part one is the 16th. You can open 45 gifts a day and hold 40 gifts in your item bag. Team Rocket will have more water and ice type Pokemon, and a Mega Abomasnow will have a CP boost. Very weird bonus, but there you go. Pikachu wearing a holiday hat, holiday Delibird, holiday Stantler, holiday Sfeel, which is new, holiday Cubchoo, and holiday Glaceon, which is new, will be
one's real cute.
Spawning in the wild. All of those can be shiny. The Cubchoo and Delibird and Stantler are repeats. There will be a festive hat, jacket, and shorts in the store. There will be Vanillite, Swinub, Snowrunt, Snover spawning in the wild. Cryogonal, Alolan Sandshrew spawning in the wild. Raids will have the Glaceon, the Delibird, the Stantler, and the three stars. Kyurem will return. It can be shiny for the first time. Field research will get you a Sfeel, Stantler, Cubchoo, Alolan Vulpix, Pikachu, Swinub, Cryogonal.
The year of Cryogonal.
Part two, which starts the 23rd of December, will get your Bergmite and Avalug debut. During part two, you'll get an egg incubator. Each day, you'll spin a Pokestop. That's usually that one time this one. Field research will give you the Holiday Delibird. There will be a collection challenge from Sunday the 25th through the end of the year. You'll need Swinub, Snowrunt, Sfeel, Snover, Vanillite, and Cubchoo. And if you complete the challenge, you will get Galarian Mr. Mime.
Ha! Now's my time. You all had to pay $5.
I had it for a year, though. You had to
wait. I had my patient individual pays off. Also, I didn't know that Galarian Mr. Mime is technically two faces.
The last bit of Pokemon Go news here is the power-up stops, which I've seen one of them. I haven't done it yet.
I found one. And I scanned it, and it's like, oh, hey, do the AR scanning. And I'm like, I'd have to go stand in traffic to get this. So guess what's not happening?
Yeah, when I found it, it was like, it's like 14 degrees outside. I'm going to stay in my car. Never mind. We're excited to announce power-up Pokestop feature to make use of the new AR mapping task introduced last year. Soon you'll be able to work with fellow trainers to complete AR tasks and AR experiences. You'll be able to power up certain stops for a limited period of time with AR mapping tasks. Power up stops a different way, and any trainers who spin a stop will earn extra rewards. As more level 20 trainers and above perform AR scans of the Pokestop, the rewards from spinning it will increase, and the Pokestop will be powered up for a longer period of time. Powered up Pokemon stops have three visually distinctive levels, and they will level up as more trainers work together to scan. Following requirements are as follow. Level 1 is 5 scans. Level 2, 10 scans. Level 3, 25 scans. To scan a Pokestop, go to the Pokestop or gym. Tap the three dots in the upper right. You must be level 20 or above to complete the AR mapping tasks. And be aware of your surroundings.
Just like every news press release ends, be aware of your surroundings.
I know people are weirded out about the AR scanning stuff.
What's weird about it?
There was a rumor at some point when it came out that
it's a conspiracy.
If you AR scan a stop, then Niantic can look at it, and then Niantic has the option to remove it. I have talked to Niantic about this. That's
what they want you to believe.
I'd say that it's the opposite now. They're like, oh, this stop gets a lot of people scanning it. We better keep this one.
Yeah. So what Niantic told me when I talked to them about why the AR even exists in the first place, and maybe this was in one of their press releases, I don't know, is the reason that the AR even exists is to actually map out real world areas. So when you use AR Pokemon, it works in the area better. And there is, if you go to their YouTube, there's like a commercial with like a Pikachu. It's like at a skate park. It's at some skate park in California. That's like really, really popular. And there's like a battle happening there. And they said that that was all because they went there themselves and AR scanned the entire skate park. So when the Pokemon are battling, it's taking in account the actual like stairs and the rails and like the actual level. And so by trainers scan, I mean, like, it's no conspiracy. There's no, like, what we are doing is building their map, right? As a player, they're seeing where players are walking, where players are playing, what stops players are spinning. Like, we are giving them data. We have been giving them data since day one. This is just another level of data so they can start building a real world based off our scans. They're not using the scans to, like, remove Pokestops. They want data from us. They don't want to remove anything from us.
Mm-hmm.
My problem with the scans is it just takes too long. And sometimes... Mm. Like, for me, in a very cold city right now, I don't want to scan something outside in the snow.
I also don't know what I'm supposed to scan.
Usually you're just supposed to walk around what the stop... I mean, it's easy when it's a statue, right? You just walk around the statue. Yeah. But sometimes it's like a building, and you're
it's a whole building. I can't. And I'm like, how much do you want of this? How... And sometimes it's a park sign, and I'm like, I've walked around this park sign four times so that...
I think
you
the closest
have
stop
time
to my house
video.
Is a baseball field. And I'm like, what? I'm supposed to run the bases?
So they can remove it later.
It's usually just the rewards are just not good enough normally for me to do it. Like, I think the best reward they kind of give is like a Poffin. Like, I think a Poffin is worth it. I don't think Pokeballs are ever worth it.
I just have a thing that says I've uploaded three things and it never disappears. I'm like, go away.
Yeah.
Take them away. Take it.
We're all very close to Mall of America. I'm sure Mall of America has a bunch of these power-up stands. I am sure they will be 25 scans on Community Day. I'm sure of it. But I'd be curious of, like, there's a stop down the street. It's like a laundromat or something. I don't think that stop is ever going to get 25 scans. It's like, who's...
You don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
You don't know who's a big player in your neighborhood?
I do know what that stop is. It's not a laundromat.
All right, fair enough.
Useful information.
I mean, you could do it 25 times.
I think you're only allowed to do it like... Oh, can you do it once every 5 minutes? Is that what they're at?
No, I think so.
I think it's probably once a day.
I don't know.
Cause you,
like, I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know what
I'm making things up.
Limit of scanning is.
Hmm.
I don't think this is going to, like, if you were anti-AR scans, I don't think this new feature is going to be like, oh, now I'm for the AR scans.
I am still anti-AR scans because they're going to take my things away.
All right. We went long this week, so no question of the week. I'm sorry, Greg. Save your song.
You know, I work very hard.
I know.
And it's the holidays.
Day in, day out.
That means content. Next week's song will be even better.
No.
That's not how it works.
This is the Will Anderson rule. Once I'm denied, you get the bare minimum.
There you go.
You built up
there
trust
you go.
Again.
Nice. Nice.
Speaking
learning.
Of bare minimum, Will, give us our Pokemon of the week.
All right. So last week, I kept it very simple. I think a lot of people did get it this time. This Rock Ground or Rock Electric Pokemon, which is very popular in Sinnoh, can evolve when it reaches the level that is one-third of its evolution's regional and national Pokedex number. So, you know, a few of the hints there. Number one, that it could be two possible types means that it has a regional variant. And also the fact that its evolution's regional and national Pokedex number are the same means that it has to be from Kanto because everybody else got, they kept different sets of numbers for those two. Greg.
It's
Steve.
Let's go, Pikachu. Let's go, Eevee. Had Alolan forms. This game does not. I'm just saying that right now. It's Geodude.
Oh,
God. I didn't understand what you're trying to say. Whatever.
Okay.
Whatever.
It's Geodude. And what Steve is expressing, he is mad that Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl do not have Alolan forms in it, even though there are Pokemon that have forms.
And let's spend another half hour because I actually wanted them to not change the typing and I wanted it to be a faithful remake so that there would not be any fairy types in Diamond and Pearl. Okay? And I didn't get that. I didn't get what I wanted. So
FYI, friend with me. Always watching us.
Geodude is my favorite Sinnonian Pokemon.
Also, this picture behind me, which you can't see, is a Geodude artwork.
Nice. I don't know. Over time, I've grown to love the Geodude.
I've always loved Geodude. I think Geodude and his little muscle arms flopping around.
You guys are both gym people.
Also, the shuffle icon is incredible. The shiny is very good. It's like a little gold nugget.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the like Geodude mascot in Japan? And it has like transparent pants?
No.
Yes, no. It doesn't have pants. It has nothing on. There's nothing there.
Well, that's why they're transparent. You can't see it.
Right. Everybody says, oh, look, you can see his transparent pants. I'm like, no, you can't because it's transparent. It's true. Don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, you have to.
I have looked at that picture. It's like the blue, gold, white, blue, brown, black dress.
Uh-huh.
I don't see the transparent pants that everybody claims they can see.
Alolan Geodude has the lowest base special attack and special defense of all electric-type Pokemon. Along with its evolutionary references, are the only Pokemon with the combination rock-electric, are the only three-stage evolutionary line, which means all members have an Alolan form, and they were designed by Hitoshi Arigara, which has done...
Ariga?
Yeah, sure. Ariga? Ariga, that sounds better, yeah.
Ariga.
They did Dracozolt, Acrozolt, Dracovish, Acrovish, Rookidee, Corviknight, Corvisquire, Mega Beedrill, Alolan Muk, Alolan Grimer, Inkay, Pangoro, Honedge, Aegislash, Tyrant, Tyrantrum, Grubbin, Charjabug, Vikavolt, Minior, Drampa. They've done quite a few.
A lot of Alola there.
Amora, Auroras, Minior, love those.
Yeah.
Honedge, love. That whole line, great. Tyrant, awesome.
Some good Pokemon there.
Very good Pokemon.
Great. Ready?
Ready.
Oh, man. Right.
Before I start this clue, which Greg and Steve got to hear me laugh evilly as I was preparing it, I need everyone to take your tongue and place it firmly in your cheek so that you don't have a bad reaction. Here we go. Over the history of the Pokemon games, when a new Pokemon type is introduced, older Pokemon types are revised to incorporate the newly introduced type. As examples, when Fighting type was discovered, some Normal type Pokemon were reclassified as Fighting type. When Fire type was added, some Normal type Pokemon had their typing replaced with Fire type. Along the same lines, Flying type replaced or was added to a number of normal types. Some previous normal types eventually even ended up as fire and flying types. In this revisionist perspective of the National Pokédex, which is the first in Pokédex order Pokémon to have its type changed through the addition of a newly discovered type and not through the addition of a regional variant? It's so easy.
That went in one ear out the other for me.
You didn't put your tongue in your cheek, dude.
Oh, I did, but then it looked really bad on video, so I decided to stop doing that.
Dang.
My brain broke there. Thank you for listening. Thank you for making it to the end. Greg, as I end my thing, Greg will think of a secret word for Twitch chat if you come on in and you finish the podcast. I extend...
Sneasel seizes.
No, hold on. Don't say the secret word yet. They gotta wait till the end. I extended the Patreon promotion, so if you have not signed up for Patreon, good month to sign up. You get access to our Slack. I assure you there are plenty of people who like Diamond and Pearl in our Slack community. They're more than willing to help you trade and play the underground stuff. They're there. You will also, if you sign up this month or if you're already a patron, you will get access to the winter bonus album with the break music. That Nick does. It should be 8 songs. We did one for the summer? Was it spring? I think it was summer. So you'll get that for your collection.
July?
Digital download, so at the $5 level. You also get ad-free versions of the podcast, and you also get bonus podcasts to listen to. So you get a lot of value for $5. We make your $5 go the distance. Mm. So patreon.com/PKMNCST or just ise.cash. And that's, yeah. So that supports the show, supports what I do. I know the new year's people start canceling subscription, but this for the new year, start adding new subscriptions like mm-hmm. the Patreon. Mm-hmm. That is the 2022 goal. Add more subscriptions. Agreed. You can follow Greg on Twitter at White Wing. You can follow Will on Twitter at Washing the Sink. You can follow me on Twitter at Dragging a Lake. Otherwise, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, still uploading YouTube stuff. PKMNCAST on Twitch as well. Greg, our secret word.
Sneasel sneezes.
Sneasel sneezes. Got it.
Sneasel sneezes.
Yeah.
Secret word for if you come into Twitch. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will be back next week. And even though the holidays are coming up, obviously you'll still get an episode every Monday. You'll still get some bonus episodes before the end of the year. Well, maybe one of the bonus episodes will be if Irene got out of the Eterna Forest with Cheryl. You can update her off to
you. There are people still in that forest.
Still battling alongside that Chansey. We'll see you guys next week. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are...
super effective.
Super Cinnabon Crustle.
This podcast is supported by Patreon. If you would like to support It's Super Effective, you can head over to patreon.com/PKMNCAST. A huge shout out to our Patreon producers, starting with Steven, Sean, Matthew, Bovine, Kay, Jessica, Jacob, Brian, Evan, Ryan, Patrick, Nate, Catherine, Casey, Josh, Gray, Dylan, Carlos Alvaro, and a shout out to our executive producers of Steph, Spencer, Courtney, and Brady. Thank you so much for your support. It is greatly appreciated. And we couldn't do the show without you guys. Thank you again, and we will see you next week.